Welcome back to the Return to Earth podcast. I'm your host, Monica Neese Jenkins. In this second episode, I would like to start exploring building materials. For most of my work life, I have been involved either directly or peripherally with the construction industry, and specifically with general contracting. I have found that the general contracting segment of our workforce is a hard-working, straightforward, and essentially a creative problem-solving group of workers. I have been blessed with knowing many individuals doing this work. To address our climate crisis overall, we need to look at how we are building our lived environment. I think the transition to more environmentally focused materials and practices would be easier if the construction industry as a whole sees the new path forward as easy to implement and as equal to existing costs, or maybe cheaper than business as usual. I've thought a lot about this, and I'm excited to delve into what makes an ideal building material or building block. Please let me know if I'm missing a category or what you think of the list that follows. We will be following these points in future discussions with people in the construction industry and those who supply the industry. Ideally, what qualities would we want in a structural building block? There are 10 points we will explore going forward in our search for this ideal building block. Number one, obviously, we would like a building block to be strong, able to distribute support throughout the building structure. Number two, fire-resilient blocks would be great, as that would lessen the damage in the event of a fire, and the building would not necessarily have to be totally replaced. Number three, if the building block was rodent-resilient, that would be gravy, wouldn't it? No way mice and rats would mine their way into the foundation, destroy insulation, and cause an unhealthy environment for humans overall. Number four, does the block have insulating qualities? The ability to keep out hot and cold air would be great. Number five, we want this building block to be water resistant, to not lose its strength or viability or degrade in extreme weather events or flooding. Number six, building blocks resistant to seismic activity would also lend a great boon to the life of the structure and provide safety to its residents. Number seven, resistance to extreme temperatures, which we may experience more and more as climate change creates weirding weather events. Ideally, the material will be able to withstand a 100 to 150 degree temperature spread. Here in Illinois, where I live, it's not unusual to have winter temps as low as negative 30 degrees Fahrenheit and 110 degrees Fahrenheit in the summer. Until we get the crisis in hand, that is what we are contending with at this point in the 21st century. Number eight, building blocks made of materials that do not degrade over time and release a gas or a fume, also referred to as off-gassing. Ideally, the material will not release toxic fumes to the interior of the building or anywhere in the surrounding environment under any circumstances, such as aging over time, fire, extreme temperatures, or breakage. Number 9. In the manufacture of this ideal building block, we would like to not adversely affect the community living and working around the manufacturing plant. This is a very important step to our ultimate goal in addressing the climate crisis, and a point I will make again and again in this podcast. Imagine if from the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, we had considered the adverse effects on our environment and other humans and all our manufacturing and fuel gathering needs. We would likely not be in the fix we are right now with the planet. The idea that climate change is happening and is directly related to our lack of empathy toward fellow humans and creatures is not original with me, but I do agree with this point of view. For example, some concrete manufacturing plants push product dust in the air, which is detrimental to the homes and businesses and general living environment in that area. And finally, number 10, is the making of this building block carbon neutral? How much carbon is thrown up in the air in the making of the material? As a reminder, the carbon dioxide or CO2 blanketing our planet is the chief reason we are experiencing a warming planet. It is not unlike layering blankets on your bed when you are already warm enough. For this category of inquiry, I would like to lay the groundwork for future episodes and provide a rough overview of a material whose potential excites me a lot. It's a relatively new material that we may hear a lot more of in coming years. It is as exciting to me as it is unexpected. Hempcrete. Hempcrete is new on the building scene since hemp has been decriminalized in the United States by the passing of the 2018 Farm Bill. Prior to that, growing hemp here in the United States was banned per the Controlled Substance Act of 1970. Hempcrete blocks are currently formed in a number of different ways. Basically, it's a mix of the hemp herd, also called SHIV, S-H-I-V, which is the woody core of the plant stalk, and mixed with lime. Some blocks are formed into shapes simply using that basic recipe. Other blocks are formed around a structural frame element that allows for interlocking of the blocks. On the ideal building material scale we introduced earlier, it meets several of the points. It's strong if built within a frame or as part of the frame. It is fire, rodent, and mold resistant. If mold resistance is found in other materials, we will certainly add that to our ideal building block criteria. Hempcrete may allow movement, so it likely has seismic elements. I will confirm this in a future episode where I interview people using this and or making this. It allows the structure to breathe, but it is insulating and does not have off-gassing properties. Walls built with these blocks generally require some kind of finish, usually a stucco mix. The downsides to this is that it does decompose if used below ground level. And from what I can tell from reading online articles only so far, it is not water resistant. However, there are options for using this material as a foundation material requiring other standard building elements, as it does provide exceptional features as already stated, especially its insulating and mold-resistant quality. This may not be an issue for some. The manufacturing impact on the local community is something I still need to investigate as well. I think the thing I love the most about this material is that it does address our climate change issue. One block can sequester approximately 14 pounds of CO2. It does this through the life of the process in creating the block. Growing hemp is a renewable resource and can pull down or lock up at least 2 times that of a mature forest. Some sources state that using these blocks in a structure is carbon negative or very close to it, meaning that when you add up all the emissions from harvesting the plant, transporting, processing, installing the block, it pulls more carbon from our overladen atmosphere than it kicks up. On the other hand, our current standard building block is composed of concrete, which for every pound of concrete made, kicks the same pound up into the atmosphere. Concrete is considered to cause 9% of our global carbon footprint. I will post a link to that data found in the Scientific American in the show notes. What does hempcrete cost? What is its cost now in 2024 compared to standard concrete costs? Does my local town or county permit this as a building material? Those answers will be addressed as we move forward in this series, as I interview individuals who work with this material and hopefully a city building department head yet to be determined. Now that we have laid the groundwork for what this ideal building product is, a future episode or episodes will give more details on the hands-on aspect of using this product on a building site. Until then, this is Monica Neese Jenkins for the Return to Earth podcast. This podcast is written and produced by me, Monica Neese Jenkins. Copyright Jenkins Voice. Theme music, With the Greatest Will, was purchased under license from Tyzo Audio. All other media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Please leave us a rating and a review wherever you listen to this podcast. Thank you so much for listening.